I better move on. Become aware of your stories, which are your thoughts about what's happening that are untested and uninvestigated theories of what things mean. That's what she means by your story. Your story is what happens, has happened in your life that's untested and uninvestigated, that you have theorized, your brain has theorized to make things meaningful in your life. That's the left brain's job, is to make sense of our environment. For example, when unexplained or unexpected events happen, let's say someone doesn't contact you when they're supposed to, like a contractor. That happens to me all the time. When your boss invites you into his office at 4 o'clock Friday afternoon. When a cop's siren goes off behind you on the road. When your spouse says or does something uncalled for or unlike them. Or when your teenager's missed his curfew by an hour. The left brain begins creating stories to defend yourself, explain the situation, blame the other person, whatever. Have you ever noticed that? Mm-hmm. When you don't know what's going on, you start spinning a story. And I have to be a great storyteller, because this has happened to me a lot. When something's going on that is unexpected, or I'm not sure what's happening and I'm thinking this is not right, I'll weave a story about what's probably going on, and then I upset myself. And then it turns out that it wasn't like that at all, and then I feel dumb. Does that happen to anybody here? Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Not always worry. Sometimes optimistic. Sometimes it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. In Hebrew, we are saying you are living in a movie.
Living in a movie.
A police siren, I try to think up a story to tell.
Right. Yeah, you get defensive right off the bat. I mean, he's not maybe even pulling you over. He's just back here, even not even with his siren on. And all of a sudden, you're gripping the wheel thinking, okay, now what did he's... I wasn't speeding. I wasn't this. I wasn't that. And you get all defensive. And then he goes by you, and you're going, phew. You know. Yeah, that's those stories. Even, and they can be positive stories or negative. But that's that left brain, because that's his job, to make life have meaning for you. There are also stories that we tell ourselves that encompass more than just an event or a person. They're stories that explain our lives. Small stories breed bigger stories, and bigger stories breed major theories about our life, and then we wind up becoming defined by the stories that we tell ourselves. Your personality takes it as a badge and wears it. For example, how many people define themselves as cancer survivors? Or rape survivors, or a minority, or ADD, ADHD, or obese, or poor, or unemployed, whatever. Almost to the exclusion of everything else in their life. That's the first thing comes out of their mouth. And their whole life becomes that. That's that badge that they're wearing, about their story. Some of these stories empower us, and many of them disable us. But for every disabling story, there's a variation of a single theme. This shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't have this experience. This is unfair. When we recycle these stories and we move out of the truth of our lives and out of the presence of our lives, this reduces our power of decision. We're in a story. It's like Asaf said, we're in a movie. Most of our stories involve other people, particularly those close to us. The problem is that we often know less about those people close to us, like our spouse, our children, or parents, than a stranger that we might have just talked to for an hour. You know, like in our gatherings, when we've talked about our dreams, about things most people don't know about us, we sit around and chat, I'll bet you come out of here knowing more about some of these people than you may even know about your own child, teenager, or a spouse. That's because we only know our stories about those people, and we don't have a clue who they really are and what they really think.
What do you mean we only know our stories about them?
Because we've made up a story about, let's say, well, you have a teenage son who's been a problem. You know, maybe he's been in and out of problems or whatever. And you've got a story about him. And you don't know that actually away from you, he's got a whole other life. But you haven't opened yourself up to even investigating the truth of your story. So you only know this, and then you find out something about him, and you go, wow, I didn't know that, and he's my own son. That's pretty common, actually. Also, our understanding of other people is limited by what we think we already know, which is what I kind of talked about, and the projection of our own thoughts onto them. This is what happens sometimes in the process of falling in love or falling in lust with somebody that, like, doesn't share your values, somebody that all your friends think is not right for you, and so you think, oh, they just don't want me to be happy.
They just don't know him like I do.
Yeah, this wonderful, you've projected this and made a story around this person who's wonderful and exciting and sexy and attractive. Regardless of what everything else says, you know, you're not listening to that inner voice. That's called love is blind. And we don't really get to know the person, even maybe after we're married to them, until the honeymoon is over. Then we go, oh, I didn't know that. And you'll often blame that person. Well, you didn't tell me. Well, hello, you didn't bother to open yourself up to investigate the truth of your story about them that you wove in your mind. Does that sound familiar? It does to me. It's not about you, dear. Tony Robbins, whose livelihood is helping people empower themselves, says that we get stuck in our negative stories through repetition that tell us that we can't become more. We connect through the pain and the problem in our lives, even when it isn't necessary. Stories of our problems are the biggest addiction in humanity. They become a pattern. Problems allow us to escape our fears, especially if they're big enough, bad enough, and they're not our fault. His foundational advice is divorce your story if it doesn't serve you and marry the truth. He doesn't believe affirmations work because they don't challenge you to see the truth and tell a different story. Now, this is where I wanted to get Lorraine's input about my next question for you is, what's your story? And Lorraine, I know that you did some work with Healing Code. Did you discover any subconscious inner stories when you did that have held you back?
Yeah.
Is there anything you're willing to share about that?
I started the Healing Codes, and unbeknownst to Annie in Denmark, because she wasn't here at the gathering, she actually bought me that book for my birthday and sent it to me.
Really?
No.
Sweet little girl.
Coincidence. So I got the book, and then he offers a class past the book, and I took that class, so I actually had telephone interviews with Dr. Lloyd himself. And so he gave me my personal codes, and as I was going through my heart-finding issues, my heart issues, and looking at my stories that are pictures in our
heart,
I realized that my childhood environment set me up to believe that I wasn't worth much, that my mother and father had their own issues going on, and as a child, to be seen and not heard, and I was kind of loud and obnoxious because I'm such an extrovert. So I was kind of in the way a lot and annoying. So I wasn't very valuable. And that story set up unconsciously in my mind to affect everything else. So it affects the way that I work with people, the way I have relationships, the way that I receive love, the way that I give love, the way that I clean my house. It affects every other aspect of my life because it's an unconscious illusion belief that I got, was given, interpreted from the environment at a very young age. So yeah, it absolutely is.
It's been your story for years.
Mm-hmm. And the thing with the thoughts is I can't control the thoughts that I have, but the thoughts that I have in observation allow me to see that there is an error, because I can follow the thoughts back, and I keep following the thoughts back, and I keep following them because there's a pattern here. Mm-hmm. How come I always get to the same conclusion in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
I always get to the same conclusion. Why? Because there's an illusion in there, and that's absolutely 100% true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yes, I have found many.
Great example. Good for you. And they're helping. The Healing Codes are helping.
Yes, my insides feel fabulous. My heart feels more open.
You look a lot better.
I feel more loving, yeah.
That's what I kept saying. She looks 10 times better than she did just last year.
Yeah. Remember last year I kept saying, don't touch me, don't touch me.
Oh, I've hurt so much.
Oh, my gosh, I completely
How's your arthritis?
Don't give her any cayenne pepper.
Oh, no, cayenne pepper, no. I still have arthritis, and it still affects me. But as Dr. Lloyd said, it took a long time for my body to respond to the thoughts I was having. Mm-hmm. And as long as I continue to clean up the insides, then my body will respond to that
exactly.
as well.
And don't fight your body and accept and love it.
He's the one
love your arthritis.
Exactly. Right. He's the one that said, stop being so angry and mad because I was pissed. I don't deserve this. I don't want this. I don't want
happening.
To hurt like this. I should be able to work again. I have a lot to contribute. I don't want to be laying in bed all the time. Mm-hmm. But when I went the other way and said, you know what? It's okay. I have arthritis, and I am limited, and I don't walk as fast as everybody else does, and I sleep a lot, and I lay in bed a lot, and that's okay, because that's how I take care of me right now, and I'm still productive, and I can still do my schoolwork, and I still have a lot to contribute, and I've had to learn a greater humility, because I've had to learn that I have value even in the middle of this illness.
Right.
I'm smart. And I'm organized, and I'm efficient. And all of that came because I was forced to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Yay.